pause and ask for the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts. Help us to understand your word and even make clear your words in their hearing and in our hearts. Thank you for your promise that you'll be with us always. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The sermon this morning has come from the book of John chapter 2. If you have your Bible with you, there's a miracles experience that happened at the little town called Cana in Galilee. That's where our message of meditation this morning comes from. John chapter 2. You may look at your scripture. We have different translations, but I have New International Versions. I'll read it for us quickly, and then we go through our passage of meditation this morning. On the third day of the wedding took place in Cana in Galilee, Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." "Dear mother, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jar, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jar with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did, and the master of the banquet tasted the water had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone bring out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guest had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Have you been invited to a special or formal functions that you felt embarrassed because you're not familiarized with the tradition or the cultures happened in that setting? I was invited, actually, one week before we left Jordan, the Jordanian command invited the U.S. soldiers to a special banquet. It was an opportunity for the Jordanians to show their appreciations for the training they received from the American troops. Not only that, it was time that they thanked the American soldiers for items and equipments they personally donated to the Jordanians. So after speeches and expression of gratitude, both Americans and Jordanians were invited to a beautiful layout banquet. Food were nicely decorated, lots of salad, fruits, nuts. But the Jordanian has special traditional at sometimes during the course of the meal, the soldiers came in and prepared a set of round table right in the center of the hall that we had the banquet. And then they brought in bowls of rice. I never have tasted such a delicious, nice prepared rice like those Jordanian rice. It was simmered with numbers of lots of those nutritious ingredients that bring the flavor out. And they decorated with nuts on it. And the rule or the instructions, you have to eat the dish using your one hand, using your fingers, and the other hand behind you. And by the way, I have to let you know,
right at the center of the bowl of rice, they placed the head of the lamb. Nice, prepared. The animal's mouth opened. You can see the teeth and the tongue and the eyes wide open. And they said, it's specifically for the respective guests. What an embarrassing experience is that, the guest, you have to have a taste of the tongue. And you also have to have a taste from the eye of the animal, and they crack open the brain, and you have to have a taste from the brain. When it comes to my turn, I got up and just played with the piece of the tongue and the eyeball. When they're not paying attention to me, I bring up the napkins and wrap it in and throw it in the trash. It was a good fellowship. But the embarrassing experience was that I could not get myself to appreciate the gratitude of the national, of the people. But the nuts and rice were so delicious. You know, in chapter 2 of the book of John, Jesus was invited with his disciples to a wedding banquet at Cana of Galilee. Mary, his mother, was there. Relatives of Mary's were there as well. The Bible tells us the most embarrassing experience happened in that wedding was that the wine ran out. There was no wine at the wedding, so it raised concern for Mary to bring the issue or the concern to Jesus. She tried to spare the new couples from the great embarrassment from the presence of the guests. So in verse 3, Mary presents her concern to Jesus. And she said to him, they have no more wine. By the way, the scripture using the wine in different ways, and it's still a debatable issue among many Christians, because the two words used interpret wine, yashin and tirash. They both refer to fermented wine or intoxicating wine. Those two words also refer to the fresh and fermented wine of the fresh juice of the grapes. So therefore, the fresh, according to the scripture, the fresh juice of the grapes represent the purity of the blood of the covenant, represent the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for the remissions of sin. We can also come to conclusion according to the scripture that the fermented wine or the intoxicating wine represent the impact of sins and the effects of sins that control our lives. The scripture gives a warning for those who are uncertain about the using of wine. Some Christians use this text to justify their consumption of wine. Unfortunately, the scripture clearly tells us, according to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, chapter 20, verse 1, that wine is mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever led astray by them is not wise. So the Bible is very clear that the wine shall not be consumed by the people of God. Chapter 21, verse 17, it says, he who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. Not only that, in verse 24, 32, it says, the wine bites like a snake, poisonous like a viper. And unfortunately, the Bible clearly says that not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the Lord decrees. and they bribe all the oppressed of the rich. So you know, my friends, this morning, the scripture warned us against the intoxicating wine or the fermented wine, because it represents the impact, the effect of sins that control ourselves. But the scripture made clear to us that the fresh juice of the grapes extracted from the vine press represent the purity, the innocent, the blood that us bring salvation unto us, the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's also mentioned in chapter 26 of the book of Matthew, verse 26, verse 7, the verse you well familiarize. It says, then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, listen very carefully, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Clearly tells us that the grape juice is for represent the purity of Jesus Christ. But the experience of Jesus at the wedding, it really teaches us a great lesson about Mary's request when she found out that the wedding wine runs out. Mary came to Jesus demanding him to exercise his divine power by performing a miracle because the wine runs out. We can ponder over that request because the nature of the request impacts the old wine of selfish pride that lives within us, even reflect or imply from the request of Mary. We can find that out when Jesus responds to her requests. According to John the Evangelist, the experience at Cana revealed the power of Jesus to transform the impact of the sinful life that we have and changing into a genuine love of faith. It is interesting that when Mary came to Jesus and informed him about the wine's run out, Jesus responded to him. If you look at verse 4 of chapter 2, it really interesting tells us that what Mary request of Jesus has something that Jesus disapproved of. Verse 4. Now when Jesus responded to Mary, he said, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. If you look at the other translation, King James Version's translation, Jesus said to Mary, woman, why does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Jesus' response implied that Mary seems to demand a favor from Jesus, for she has an earthly connection with him, that Jesus was her son. It seems that Mary demands Jesus to exercise her divine power to perform miracles to reveal that he is the Messiah. As you all know, that Mary has the right to testify about Jesus' messiahship. Because as you remember, the angels of the Lord revealed Mary that you bear a child and you shall be called him Emmanuel. God's with us. So if Mary demand of that from Jesus, she has the right to do so. But Jesus responded to Mary, my time has not yet come. He graciously denied the request by challenging Mary to exercise her faith and put her trust in the sons of God. Jesus' grace cannot be moved by our merits and our favoritism. Jesus Christ cannot be moved by any connections or any favor that we do for him. He expects us to exercise our total depending on his power. My friend, this morning, in other words, John the Evangelist suggests that our relationship with Jesus cannot build on our merits to earn God's grace, but a relationship that builds on our genuine love to wait upon him and ask for his transformation power in our lives. He will change the effect of the old wine within us, the old wine of self-pride. Could it be we all have that self-pride in us that we demand God for reward for our being so good and patient and faithful in our daily walk with him? Could it be we have that self-pride that we demand rewards from Jesus? John, help us this morning that Jesus cannot be moved by merits, by good works, but he's graciously waiting for the genuine love of faith. To humble us, to transform that self-interest within us, calling for reward. One of the precious gifts that we receive from the Lord is our spouses. It helps to humble us. I remember the early stage of our marriage, we encounter a lot of unsolved arguments. We yell at each other and never willing to be apologized. My wife always become the problem. I always be the one who come with the solution. I always wait on her to come and reconcile, wait for an apology. One day it hits me like a thunder in my heart. We were arguing and I was accusing her. My voice was loud and she was crying. After sobbing, she said to me, "If only you can say sorry and admit you could make mistake, that it's all matter to me." But we cannot continue on this way if I'm always wrong and you're always right. Her words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to give me a wake-up call. It's time to wake up, or otherwise my wife will walk away from me. My friend, this morning, it only the Holy Spirit that inspired our hearts, transformed the selfish pride within us, and to humble us, and to ask that we need to put our trust on him, not ask for reward for our self-righteous walk with the Lord. So my friend, this morning, John, in this experience of the wedding, that Jesus is the only wine, the true wine, can transform the effect of the old wine, the intoxicating wine, and become a new wine, a fresh wine, because of him who promised that he will do that miracles in our lives. As you see, when Jesus challenged Mary for that reason, Mary was able to change from that mode of using that she has connected with Jesus, but totally trust he is the Son of God. And if you look at verse 5, Mary exercised her total trust on Jesus. And verse 5, she said, "His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says, you do it.'" My friend, this morning, Mary demand or order the obedience of the servants to put their trust on the stranger they have no knowledge of him. And Mary said to them, you must do everything he tells you to do. Could it be things happen and miracles happen in our life when we exercise our total trust on Jesus by following such command? Do everything he wants me to do. That is exercising our faith. When we exercise our genuine faith in Christ, he will accommodate us with his transforming power. The transforming power of God will work out miracles in our lives, and we'll be able to do just like what he wants and expects of us. I've seen a transforming power of God in the life of one of our members that I study with. He admits he makes several mistakes, but the situations that got him in, I see tears in his eyes, and he said, God has a plan for my life. He just wait what exactly the plan of God in his life. That's the transforming power of God. To transform life, to transform water into wine. And by the way, the miracle of transforming water into wine is to reveal that God has power to transform our life from the effect of the old wine to become and influenced by the new wine, the blood of Jesus Christ. And when Mary moved to that total dependence, exercising her faith based on her trust that he's the Son of God, not that she has an earthly connection with her, Jesus said to the servants, fill the water pots with water. We discover in the scripture that there were about 6 water jars that holds about 20 to 30 gallons of water. They were there, but they were empty. According to the scripture, those water pots represents peoples of God. Those water pots represents the pots in the hands of the potter. But according to John, it needs to be filled with the water. Filled with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the living water. You may remember the woman at the well, exhausted, went there, tried to distance herself from the rest of the community, shy away from her friends. She tired of being accused. And she met Jesus by the well. And Jesus asked, give me a water to drink. He initiated the conversations with her, tried to reach out to her. We know the story that the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, how can you ask me of a water? I am a Samaritan, I am a woman, and you are a Jew, and you are a male. How could you? And we found out in the book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus responded to the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 10, if you know the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water. My family, this morning, those empty pots, the pots in the hands of a potter, shaped according to his will, but need to be filled with the living water. You need to be filled with the living water. Not only need to be filled with the living water of Jesus Christ, but Jesus said to the servants, fill it to the brim. Let it overflow. Let it come out. Unless our pots fill with water and overflow, it is time to pass it out. And that's where the miracle of transformation occurred. I remember one of the pastors being interviewed. When we asked about his philosophy of ministry, he said, he's just like that empty pot. Need to be filled with the Spirit of God, with the water. And when he filled, you'll be able to share. If we have nothing within us, we cannot share the truth and the reality of God's love in our lives. We need to be filled with the living water of God. And Jesus said to the servant, take it to the master. Give it to the guests. Give it to those who thirst and weary. They deserve to share the new wine, the best wine. Who is Jesus himself? My friend, this morning, when we put our trust in Jesus, he will accommodate us. Our empty pot will be filled and overflow with the spring of his grace. And he wants us to share it. Share it. Give it to the master. My family, this morning, don't forget what the master said to the bridegroom. He called the bridegroom, come here. Everybody served the choice wine at the beginning, but you have saved the best for the last. My family, this morning, we may have a wrong start. We may have some problem in the beginning of our relationship with Jesus, but trust in him. He will accommodate your faith. He will fill your empty water pots, transform it into a living water, a living wine. And he said, share it. If we don't feel by the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to share. I also talk about myself. But by grace of God, we all need to be filled by the grace of God. Because God deserves you and me to share that water, to become a blessing to the wedding who runs dry and run out of wine. The world is run dry of God's grace, but it's waiting for you and for me to be filled by the Spirit of God and share unto them the blessing and transforming power of God in your life. May God bless us as we meditate of the experience of the wedding at Cana in Galilee, that we may not ask God because to demand him of a favor, but a genuine exercise of our faith, knowing that he accommodates our needs, for he is willing to fill our empty jar. He wants us to share it, and he wants us to give it back to the master. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.